97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. It's the afternoon show on 97.5 The Fanatic. No television right now because the Phillies are in play currently, taking on the Atlanta Braves in the final game of the three-game series, looking to take the series with a 2-1 advantage in this one. So we'll see how it all plays out this afternoon as they are up right now 1-0 in the fifth with two men on base as we speak. So we will rejoin television on the television side once the game goes final with their post-game coverage and all on NBC Sports Philadelphia. But you do have us for about 2 hours, I'm guessing, maybe a little bit less than 2 hours, to talk a lot of football, some baseball. We'll get into some basketball stuff as well. We'll always have fun with our side topics. And at the top of the show, I want to let you know that at 4 o'clock, we will be having our training camp report, our first of the 2022 season, where Tim McManus of ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic will join us at 4 p.m. to discuss the first day of camp on the field. Only 58 minutes of field work for the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's bothering a lot of people that they're not getting a lot of work in, so we'll talk about that. And then at 4:30, we will be joined by Jason Stark of The Athletic to talk about the Phillies, hopefully a victory today and taking this series. Trade deadline and so much more. I'm Devon Givens again with you until 6 o'clock. Tyler Zuli is here as well as we hang out with you this Wednesday afternoon, where it's back to being warm outside. But let's begin with the Eagles, with what we heard today from Nick Sirianni and what he had to say about the football team first day of practice. He took the field after, you know, he spoke a little bit earlier in the 9 o'clock hour heading into 10 o'clock. And the one thing that stood out again to me with Nick Sirianni as he spoke today and talked about the football team and their chances this season as they get underway for his second season and how things are different the first time around. I mean, the second time around after having that first one. It's really interesting to see and monitor, not only on the phones talking to Connor Thomas and Tom Alvord during the midday show. Great hearing those guys out there here today. But it was, again, about folks and what they have to say about the head coach. It's really it's always interesting, again, to just listen and sit back and hear people talk about him and get so frustrated by him and what he is doing, how he's going about it out there as a head coach, how he speaks, the way he does it. It doesn't fit the narrative of Philadelphia. He doesn't really give you much to go off of as a head coach to feel comfortable out there as a head coach. And that seems to be a lot of the case for many, so many people. And I wonder, is that really where you are as a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles, where it really just starts to bother you about Nick Sirianni and who he is? Why does it seem that he's bothering people so much? Now, he is a different cat. I will say that. He's a different dude. He's not the same as what we're accustomed to. He's not even, right, he's not Doc Rivers. He's not Rob Thompson. He's not any of these people, but what he is a guy out there doing his job and feeling like he's a player's coach right now in this new era of football, if you will, a player's coach. And it bothers a lot of people. It really does bother a lot of people that you have to sit here and hear him talk about, you know, the gardening and these cliches of so many other things and mountains, apparently, what he was talking about today and having that stuff. The other thing with people that bothers them is the fact that he also goes out there and he wears the T-shirts with the players on them, whether it's Brandon Graham when he goes down. Today, it was, who was today? Jalen Hurts today, and that's what you have to deal with him. And that's something that we all just going to have to simply get used to. We're going to have to get used to this as we deal with this head coach, because that's who he is. And I thought at the end, while you want to be able to connect, I thought at the end, the bottom line was this: to simply win football games. Well, as different as he may be, as weird as he may be, to a lot of people trying to get used to and get comfortable with having Nick Sirianni as your head coach, they won last season. They didn't win the Super Bowl. That's the ultimate goal. We know that. But they're rebuilding. We didn't expect them to make the postseason last year, but they did. And with that, I think that we wanted to talk today and start off, what do you want from Nick Sirianni? Like yesterday we did the Jalen Hurts part of it, and since he spoke today and so many people again got on him, what do you want? Honestly, what do you want from Nick Sirianni in order for you to accept him as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles? Because in the end, it's about winning. And he does some things that seem cool. Yes, it's a little different that he may have the, what does he have? The basketball court inside the press conference room at NovaCare. And he's talking about having draftees, potential draftees, come into their room. And instead of really talking football, they're talking about this. And they're playing Nerf basketball. And he wants to see how competitive they are and what drives them to be competitive and all that seriousness that he has out there. He is a different guy. We have to get used to this different cat. And in the end, as long as he wins, why does that matter? Really, why does that matter? What is it that you really want from Nick Sirianni that's keeping you from supporting him as the Philadelphia Eagles head coach, where you sit back? And look, I'll be honest. Sometimes he says stuff and I'm sitting back like, okay, all right. Okay, cool. All right, great. But it's not something I expect from the head coach. But it seems that people are really like, all right, I've had enough of this guy. I'm sick of this guy. He's too cartoonish with what he is doing out there and speaking to the media. And that's a problem for a lot of people at this stage of his career now as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. But when I thought the bottom line was simply to win football games, I know you want to connect. I want to connect with the head coach as well. I want to connect. I talk about Doc Rivers where he's not my favorite. I talk about, we talk about Jim Curtin so much with the Philadelphia Union, where he seemed like he connects more as a Philadelphia, and I know Tyler Zuli is here. He hates this thing, the Philadelphia guy. But Nick Sirianni, does he kind of give you maybe that he's like a Philadelphia guy a little bit because he's a little zany, maybe he goes a little offbeat and off the beaten path of what you are supposed to get from an NFL coach, but he gives you something a little bit different. A little bit different. And I want to know why it's bothering people so much that you're dealing with this guy, but you don't love the guy. You're not really liking the guy. He's not your kind of guy. What are you expecting from him? What is now, like we did with Jalen Hurts yesterday, what is keeping you from accepting Nick Sirianni? He's not going anywhere for at least a couple of seasons. He did his job last season where he got you into the postseason. We didn't expect it, but he got you there. This year he comes back. The one thing that I do respect about him, he's doing exactly what he did last year. He's being the same kind of guy. Shouldn't we also look at the adapting of what he did last season? If we are to believe that when the run game became a big thing for the Philadelphia Eagles in the second half of the season, and they won, and it changed the complexion of the campaign, and they got into the postseason, and we then find out later that it wasn't him that changed things, changed the game plan since he was the offensive coordinator. When they were doing things as the offensive coordinator, it wasn't him. It didn't work, right? It didn't work. Well, guess what? We found out later on that Shane Steichen, he was the one that did it, not Nick Sirianni. And shouldn't we be giving Nick Sirianni credit for saying that, all right, whatever I was doing as the head coach, it wasn't working. Whatever I was doing, it was not working. So as a result, I do need to lean on my offensive coordinator in title and allow him to possibly go out there and make the necessary changes that are needed there for us all in order for us to win. Shouldn't we be looking at that too, where we give him credit for that? Now, I get on him because of stuff where I have this personal thing against Derek Barnett. And I'll say, dude, you bring this guy back. May not have been in your call. May have been the Howie Roseman. It could have been your defensive coordinator and Jonathan Gannon. But he's back. And with him being back, I have to look at the head coach. You are the one that mouthed, that we all saw, it's always him. Well, why'd you bring him back? Why didn't you simply say, get that guy out of here, I can't deal with that anymore? Well, one thing we do know is, again, that he's a player's coach, and they seem to really, 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 really take to him. We hear the leaders talk about it. We hear the quarterback talk about it. They have a cool handshake, he and the quarterback, all that stuff. They seem to like him. Why can't we? Why can't we accept him, especially if he's doing his job and finding ways to win football games for this Philadelphia Eagles team? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you on 97.5 The Fanatic. Only until the Phillies are done at some point. Right now, a 3-0 lead in the fifth with two guys on right now in the fifth with two outs as well, one out as well. So we'll join the TV side a little bit later. But right now, you only have us on the radio side. We will talk Phillies, of course, and we'll hear from Tim McManus at 4 o'clock. We'll hear from Jason Stark at 4:30. We'll have Phillies and Eagles covered. But on the radio side right now, we wanted to start off with you and just simply ask you, what is it that you need to see from Nick Sirianni to accept him as a Philadelphian leading your team in year one? However they did it, they did it. They got to the postseason. We didn't expect that. So what else do you want from the guy? Already it's back to his weird press conference from his introduction to some of the other weird things he says about growing plants and things of that nature during the season. And now we're talking about mountains, and already we're looking at him with his Jalen Hurts t-shirt on, supporting his quarterback, and we're frowning at the head coach once again. What do you want from the guy? 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens. This is the afternoon show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli is here as well. We're hanging out with you until 6. Join us.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gas Business Hotline, T-Mac, welcome back.
There he is. What's going on, Devon?
My man. How you doing?
Good. It's good to talk to you. It's been a while.
Always, always great to catch up with you, man. How was your summer?
It was
off-season.
Nice. You know, got some, yeah, off-season. That's what they call it, right?
Yes.
Got some family time in, a little relaxation, some golf. So it's all good, ready to rev up, and things got back and started today.
Yeah, man, so it's great to hear that you had a good one, and back at it. We're going to be talking to you every week and every day this week for the remainder of the week, Thursday and Friday as well. But day one in the books, and Nick Sirianni did speak today. Tim, what did you take from his first press conference for this season as he gears up for his second year as head coach?
Yeah, kind of a new trend that started last year is that Howie Roseman joining Nick Sirianni at the podium for the first day. So we got to get the GM and the head coach on day one of training camp. And the first thing that stands out is that Sirianni walks out and he's got a Jalen Hurts shirt on with Hurts' likeness, his face right in the center of it. I know a lot of fans have seen that one before. It's kind of interesting to me. I think that's where we'll start is, that yesterday they flashed an image of A.J. Brown getting out of his car to report to training camp, and he's wearing a hat that says Hurts season on it. And then Nick Sirianni walks out for his first press conference, and he's got a Jalen Hurts' face on his shirt. So clearly they're some of the top guys sending a message of support for Hurts, who has, you know, obviously he's going in as the starter, but a lot of questions about his standing long term and those types of deals. So they're sending the message very early, that we're in full support of Jalen Hurts here.
And part of that today also saying Tim a little bit earlier, running things that Jalen likes. So what's going to be different from last season to this season, whether it's either he play calling or Shane Steichen play calling, of running the things that they like for Jalen? Is this something that they all discussed in the offseason that they want to make sure that they get into it a lot more this one?
Well, sure, yeah. They're going to continue to tailor it to fit their QB1 strengths. That's something I think Sirianni did a nice job of eventually, and Steichen along with him, recognizing what was best for that offense. They made some strides in that area as the season went on. And I think what they want to throw the ball more this year. I mean, I don't think that's really any secret. It was successful when they had the run heavy scheme in the second half of the season, but I think that everybody kind of recognizes that they can't live there. So they need to figure out ways to have a more successful, more consistent passing attack. Certainly Hurts has been working all off season to get, make some strides in the accuracy department, working with some of the QB gurus in Southern California. Nick Sirianni has liked what he's seen, in that respect. The timing does seem to be a little bit sharper, at least in the very early on from what we've seen in the spring and then, just the first training camp practice today. And so, yeah, I mean, they're going to continue to work at that, and that's a huge part of this whole thing, Devon, is Jalen Hurts and can he get the accuracy numbers up? Can they get the passing attack rolling? That's certainly an emphasis that all offseason and that they'll be continuing to work on as we gear up for week one here.
Tim McMahon is joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline for our first training camp report. And Tim, as you talk about getting the offense going with the passing game a lot more this season, they addressed that big time in a big way by going out and getting one of the better wide receivers in the league and a close friend to Jalen Hurts, and that is A.J. Brown. What is the vibe like around the NovaCare complex with him now finally in the building officially as the season is about to get underway? Can you tell a difference in the excitement on the offensive side versus where they were a season ago, where it was Devontae Smith, Zach Ertz, and Dallas Goedert, and hoping for the others?
Yeah, and talked to Darius Slay today after practice and asked him kind of his initial read on A.J. Brown. And one thing that he noted was he's not a guy that likes to be running around in a T-shirt. Like he wants to have the pads on. He wants to be a physical presence. And that's something that he's going to add to this offense. I don't think there's any question about that. And we'll see sort of the full complement of that once they strap the pads on and they get into some real live game action. But I think he's going to be really good for Hurts. And you could see that they've been working on their connection. Brown said, they got together countless times during the off season, and sure enough, one of the first plays during team drills today, it was mostly all red zone work. And, Hurts struggled a little bit on the first day last year when it was also red zone work, but more crisp today, and his first touchdown pass goes to the left sideline, corner of the end zone, A.J. Brown. And that really got the fans going, the ones that were able to make it to NovaCare today. And so, yes, energy was definitely kind of flowing today. And Hurts and Brown got off to a strong start.
That's great to hear. And as we also keep it going with the training camp and look at a lot of things, a lot of additions to the team outside of A.J. Brown, what kind of camp battles, Tim, would you say we need to pay attention to as we get things started? They're going to have the day off tomorrow, right? But after that, going forward, what camp battles should we keep our eye on?
Yeah, just to walk through tomorrow. But, the one that is kind of circled that seems to be the most up in the air would be right guard. And that's with Isaac Seumalo and Jack Driscoll presumably being battling it out over the course of the summer to see who gets that role. And today, significantly, Seumalo was the first one to get those first team reps. We'll see if that they end up kind of trading as the days go on, but Seumalo gets the first crack at it. And safety is the other one that's kind of up in the air today. Anthony Harris was one of a number of guys that was sidelined or not a full participant because of COVID. And so, you have Marcus Epps, who's in there and did a nice job today. He had a diving interception of Jalen Hurts in the red zone, in the end zone, was able to pull that one off, probably the defensive play of the day. And then how is that going to fill out? It was Kayvon Wallace that was the the starter alongside of Epps today. We know that Jaquiski Tartt was signed, former San Francisco 49er, to compete in that area too. So those are kind of the primary ones when we're talking about who's going to see significant playing time. And then, of course, there's the wide receiver depth battles. Mm. Jalen Reagor, he was working with the second team today. It was been a bit of a fall from grace from him. We know that he struggled over the first 2 years. He's got to find a niche on this team if he's going to make it. So this is a very important training camp for Jalen Reagor.
Oh, it absolutely is. And as you talk about finding one for us, Tim, Marcus Epps, when you look at him, where does he simply fit? Because you see the players and the teammates backing him, but then on the outside, we look at him as a third safety. I know I'll raise my hand and say that has been for me. That's where I'm comfortable with him. But could he be someone that steps in for Roddy McLeod on that side and give you some starting snaps?
The Eagles seem to think so. And Roseman brought him up today as a guy that they're high on. I know that there is skepticism on the outside. Certainly, I've been a part of that. And I think that most people, when they analyze this roster, they look at the safety position and say, I don't know, man. Like, that one looks like the shakiest. And some of that is because Epps isn't a really proven player. But the inside seems to view him differently than externally. And let's see if they're right. But I think that he's going to have a chance to start opposite Harris. I mean, that's... it could be that way, depending on how this summer goes. So that's kind of like a key area that you're highlighting there, man, is, the defensive line looks solid, right? The linebacking position looks probably better than it's been in years. I think that most people feel good about the cornerbacks with Darius Slay and Bradbury and Avante Maddox. Like, that seems good. But safety, a giant question mark sits over that. And so as we kind of, the days go by this summer, a lot of keen eyes are going to be on that safety spot, and Epps in particular, to see if he can take that jump. And, he got off to a really good start today by making a defensive play of the day.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And you're right, the defensive line looks strong, the depth overall. And they brought my arch nemesis back, Tim. So
your boy Barnett. back, baby.
He's back. He's going to wind up giving me a jersey before he leaves. Watch.
He's going to give you something. I don't know.
Well, Tim, as always, man, I look forward to, as I'm here for the remainder of the week, I look forward to talking with you, man, and hopefully a lot more going forward throughout this 22 campaign. Thanks as always, and we'll check in with you tomorrow. Thanks so much, man.
Absolutely, man. Always my pleasure. Talk to you soon, Devon.
All right, you got it. Tim McMahon is joining us.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Check in on the Phils, who just took two of three from the Atlanta Braves and rebounding, if you will, after the sweep by the Chicago Cubs to start off the second half of the season. We do go to the Comcast Business Hotline and check in with our friend Jason Stark, who is brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks, Everfresh Nature's Refreshment. As always, Jay, how you doing, man?
I am good, Devon. What's happening?
What's happening is I just looked at this tweet where the Mega Millions is at $1 billion, Jason.
That's got your name written all over it, Devon.
Yes, it does. And as my friend, I will buy something for you. Yes.
What do you got in mind?
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it off the air. We'll bring it up on the air. We'll talk about it more off the air, what you need. Yes.
Yeah, after you win your $1 billion, you'll be hearing from me.
$1 billion. I can't wait to do that. Well, listen, man, I couldn't wait to talk to you because, look, they take two of three after rebounding from the sweep from the Chicago Cubs. The Phils come in and they take two of three this afternoon, a 7-2 victory. And we're starting to see some them getting back on track with taking the series. What do you make of what they did so far through the six games and more specifically against the Braves?
Well, I don't know when you start saying these series are huge, they're critical, they're pivotal, pick your favorite adjective, but You know, if they lose this game, that'd be back-to-back series losses at home coming out of the break. It means you're 9 games behind the Braves. Not that they're going to catch the Braves. Not that they're going to catch the Mets. I think those two teams are definitively better. But this wild card race matters. Winning games leading up to the deadline matters. You know, the Giants are starting to head south. There's some speculation they could even sell. They're under 500 now, which means you're in a fight with the Cardinals. And if the Padres fall back into catchability, it's 3 teams for 2 spots. I think they are well positioned if the deadline goes the way they would script it. But I think when you get to July 27th?
Yes.
Every year, I think whoever makes the best deal in the next week probably winds up playing in October.
Yeah, so, Jay, you know, now that we are 6 days away from the deadline on the 2nd, and we sit here and we look at it, and when we talk about this, how should they look at it? Because, as you said, there could be some sellers, but there are also things going on around the league where other players are getting hurt on other teams. They may also be interested in acquiring players as well. So, how will a general manager go about, in this case, Dave Dombrowski, of trying to figure out when to pull that trigger if he wants to be first and get in there before others start to jump, and then you see what the prospects have to be, what the price is?
Well, Dave's made a lot of calls already, and teams know what he's looking for. Mm-hmm. I have a pretty good feel who he's looking for. And it's just been a brutally slow market because there aren't enough sellers. But first thing you have to remember is the urgency to win this year, to make the playoffs, to pull the plug on that decade without playing in October, everybody feels it. Dave feels it. He's going to do what he needs to do to get better. You know, his remarks the other day were interesting because it's obvious that they're not in go-for-it mode. They're not in, you know, trade the whole system for Juan Soto mode. But they're going to be active. I've talked to a number of teams they've talked to. Dave is wheeling that shopping cart down multiple aisles. Do you want me to start going through what I believe they're looking for?
Sure, yes, please.
All right, I see 3 aisles in the supermarket where they're shopping. One is rotation, especially in the wake of Zach Eflin. They're looking for a number 3, number 4 type starter, someone who can start a playoff game, someone ideally who could start game 3 of a best-of-3. So, I mean, it won't be Luis Castillo because he's the top of this market. But then after him, Tyler Mahle, Noah Syndergaard, Chad Kuhl, someone like that. Be really surprised if they don't come away with someone who fits that description. Second aisle is bullpen. Again, if they were going to draw it up, it would be a true closer at an affordable cost. You know, you get so many relievers out there, Devon. It's conceivable somebody falls through the cracks, and you know they get that guy they need, Daniel Bard, somebody like that, at a bargain rate. I would say it's more likely they trade for somebody who is profiled to pitch the 7th inning or the 8th inning, and that could be just about anybody. There are dozens of relievers on the market. There will be affordable options. I think Dave will wait on that because the last day you're going to see some panic, I think. And then the third aisle is one that we haven't talked about much, but that's center field. What I'm hearing is this would be a glove-type center fielder as opposed to a thumper. I mean, when you got Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos playing in the corners, somebody who closes the gaps, since there's such big gaps, is important. Sure. I've thought that for a while they needed that guy. And this could be one of a number of players. Michael A. Taylor, Victor Robles, Jose Siri, Christian Pache, Jake Marisnick. I'm throwing out names. It won't be Brian Reynolds, but somebody who can catch the ball in center field, with maybe some athleticism, so you don't mind playing them. I think that's what they're trying to do, those three items. Mm. Look, the issue is clear. If they don't want to give up their best guys, this is challenging. You know, Painter and Abel, they're not just no, they're hell no. Griff McGarry, Logan O'Hoppe, Ben Brown, they've said no on all of them from what I'm hearing. So I don't know how easy it'll be to get with what they want with their next tier of prospects, because teams aren't fans of that tier.
Yes.
But Dave Dombrowski knows how to make a deal, and I expect him to make multiple deals.
Jason Stark joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline with us on his weekly visit on Wednesday. And Jason, as you say that, I had to ask you of the three aisles that he's shopping, rotation, bullpen, and center fielder, what are the chances that they walk away with two by the deadline, and maybe something a little bit lower with the center fielder, or a little bit lower with the bullpen, but rotation being the top there, the chances that they walk away with two?
Well, it's possible. You don't know how this is going to unfold.
Right.
I'd be really surprised if they don't get a starter and a reliever. I mean, they could probably survive with, you know, with Matt Vierling and Odubel, but I think they clearly want to move on from Odubel, upgrade from Odubel. Yeah. So that I think that can be done. But look around. I mean, we've had two trades this month, too.
Yes.
So it's been a really weird environment.
And as far as today goes, and even more recently with the players on the current roster, Bryson Stott, young player, as we know, playing second base today, he goes 1-for-3 with a run scored and a walk, and he's at 195. But we've seen him come up big, Jason, in big spots for the Phillies, hitting the three-run home run on Monday as well, and we've seen him with some other big spots as well, getting across the plate. Does he have that clutch gene in him?
Devon, that's a great question. You know, I don't think we know yet whether he has the clutch gene. You know, he's 200 plate appearances into his career, but I do think we can see that he has the baseball gene.
Mm-hmm.
He just has a feel for how to play. The quality of his bats is excellent. Really good bat-to-ball skills. I think he's at 15 strikeouts in his last 150 plate appearances. That's incredible for a young player in this day and age. I mean, that's, you know, that translates to striking out 50 times a year. You're seeing a lot of hard hit balls. Not as many have turned into hits as I think you would expect, but good swings, good at-bats, in big spots. Excellent two-strike approach. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens when Didi Gregorius comes back.
Gene Segura.
This guy has to get playing time, doesn't he?
Yeah. And you mean Gene Segura when he does come back and get in?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yep. How does that play out?
To him and Didi when Gene Segura comes back.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, he has to be on the field at some point, right, because he continues the hit.
Yeah, you know, you could juggle three spots, Boehm, Stott, Didi at short and third, but I mean, Didi's been off the IL now for 6-7 weeks, and he's still hitting under 200. I haven't seen the power we've seen in the past. Defense has been better, but I mean, the best offensive players on their team of late have been Boehm and Stott. Why would you take those two guys out?
Right, and what do you do with Boehm now? As you said, one of the best offensive players. He does it again, player of the game today. He's now at 293 overall with his average. Two runs scored today, two RBI, 2-for-4. And he just continues to start playing. He's playing good baseball, Jason. So do you look to possibly move him up in the order, or leave him where he is? Nick Castellanos, who has got some hits over the, you know, since the break, but what do you do?
Well, it's complicated, you know. This is the best stretch of Alec Boehm's career since his rookie season, it feels like. You know, he's hitting .439 this month. No Philly has had an average that high in any month since Jim Eisenreich in 1996. But I think the issue is there's more to lineup construction than, hey, this guy's hot, that guy's cold, let's move him around. A big issue when Joe Girardi was here was just too much volatility in the lineup and where guys hit, and it was an issue in that clubhouse. Rob Thompson's very conscious of that. But look, Gene Segura is coming back next week if all goes well. And that opens up the opportunity to redesign this lineup. I don't know exactly how they'll go. I mean, if you get vintage Gene Segura, maybe he hits first and Bohm hits second. There are lots of combinations. I mean, you'd like to leave Kyle Schwarber at the top, but when he's gone 5 for 62, which is where he is right now, he's not exactly your prototypical leadoff hitter.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's not happening that way. Well, Jason, great stuff. Great information in there, especially with the trade deadline. Look forward to seeing how that all plays out and hearing from you next week when it all does, in fact, go down for the Phillies and everyone else in Major League Baseball.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.